From deep inside the Death Star, I'm Larry Larson.
And I'm Andrew Richards.
And welcome to Defrag Tools. And today, what tool are we going to dig into, Andrew?
We are going to do the sister of Press's Explorer, which we did last week.
One of my favorites.
Yeah, definitely a favorite of a lot of people. This one is Process Monitor. So Process Monitor is very popular. It's probably more used, actually, as a troubleshooting tool than anything else. And it's just, overall, a fantastic tool and a tool that is... Yeah,
it lets you dig down deep, find out what's going on in your system, and mostly I use it for troubleshooting problems, but there are other uses as well.
Yeah, I mean, you'll find, we've talked about Process Monitor on Defrag, the show, a lot, and there's a reason for it. It's a very useful tool, and there's not really any equivalent of it out there either.
Yeah.
It's not really, Process Explorer has Task Manager to compete with it, and there's not really much else out there in the Process Monitor space, so, yeah.
And what kinds of things are we going to cover with this today?
So this is probably going to be a long episode, because Process Monitor is so useful that I want to make sure that we look at every tangent of it.
Yeah.
So we're going to do the standard overview thing, menus and blah, 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 and then do it via examples. I mean, the examples are the way to learn things.
Yeah.
I'm going to try to do four examples. This may or may not split over two shows. We'll see how we go.
Let's do it.
And then they're going to go over simple things, this little annoying things. Holistic things is like, what's my system doing at the moment as a general view? And then we're going to do the one that probably everybody wants to know and how to do is how to track how fast your machine boots.
Yeah.
Which, is the granddaddy of them all.
And we recently talked about that on Defrag too. Yeah.
We did. So
it's one that always comes up.
Mm-hmm. So, I suppose we should jump into it.
Let's do it.
Yep. So, in the first episode, we made a directory called My, and we downloaded the tools. Process Monitor was one of those tools from the SystemTernals tools we downloaded. SystemTernals.com, I'll do the 5-second, we've got to see the web page for it, I guess. And Process Monitor number 2 hit, no big surprise there. And it'll be we're not the number 1 hit. Oh, that's just a travesty. And then Process Monitor. Process Monitor gets revved about once every month or so. There's always some new feature being added to it.
Yeah.
Make sure you keep up to date with your downloads.
It's interesting that they still continue to put these out.
Microsoft support particularly just pushes these tools to the extreme.
Yeah.
And we find tiny little bugs or really inconsequential ones mostly.
Yeah.
But, we tell Mark and... Bryce is retired, so he doesn't code it anymore, but Mark still does. And Mark's he's a big advocate of the support tools and helping Microsoft support particularly.
Yeah.
And so he revs it within sometimes minutes and hours.
Yeah.
And, every month or so when a drop is made, a system turns out the door, it goes. So
nice.
Yeah. So we have, it's in the system turns folder. And then the thing we did last week is we did Presses Explorer. I'm just going to start this running. It's down here in the tray. So let's get Process Monitor going. So because it's on the path, I can just run Process Monitor. Much like every other tool, there is an accept ULA and user license agreement dialog. Process Monitor runs elevated. It runs elevated because it needs to install a device driver and just scrape up all the information from the kernel. I've given this tip a couple of times, control and the plus key auto-sizes the columns.
Nice.
So what you're seeing here is, over time, things that are happening in the system. And there is 5 major types of profiling, 5 different areas. There's registry activity, so that's things like registry key being opened, enumerated, closed, being set, being read. File activity, which is things like a file being opened, a file being closed, a directory being enumerated, a file being read, a file being written to, things to do with asking the operating system, how big is the file? Does it exist on the hard drive? What's called the USN journal? The USN journal is the thing that keeps interface consistent, and it tells, it tracks where we're up to. And so when you have, how you've got Explorer in a folder and if someone copies a file in there and you see it, well, the USN journal says, hey, my transaction number for this folder has gone up, broadcasts it, and then anybody who's got a notification gets to see it. And
nice.
And that's the system there. Network activity, this was only added about, maybe 2 years ago, a year ago. So you can now trace what comes in and out of the network. This is done through a subsystem called ETW. It doesn't use the device driver, it's a different subsystem. We'll go into that in great detail some later episode about when we get into ETW. This one is process and thread activity. It's all about a process being created, a process destroying, a thread being made, a thread destroying, a program loading a DLL and stuff like that. And then the last one that's turned off is profiling. And so what profiling does is the kind of like the performance statistics for the last second. So if you think of what you would see as in a 1 second slice in Task Manager or Process Explorer, it's giving you all those numbers. And so you can see that this guy here did 0.01% CPU power in the last second. All right. And within the profiling, you can turn on additional options, and I'll show you that, where you can go down, not from the process level, but you can go down to the thread level.
Yeah.
And so it's like taking a dump file of the process every second, and you can see what's happening. And so if you see spikes in CPU, you can go, all right, let's bring this out into the thread view and see what's going on. So much like I did last week with Process Explorer, let's run through the menus. It's always boring, I know, but you know we have to do this. Before I forget, there is a book. There's always a book.
Yeah.
Process Monitor gets a...
The book.
The book. It gets a whopping big chapter. Aaron Margosis was the primary author for Mark of this book. Fantastic book. Amazon.com, $20-something. Just buy it. Don't argue. Just buy it. So if I skip something and you want more detail, or I went too fast, go into there. All right, menus. Open and save. So this data that's been collected can be saved to a file. And so you can capture it on your box. It doesn't have to be internet joined, doesn't have to have anything like that. Capture the data there, pick it up, copy it to someone else's machine who's a bit more knowledgeable, and then open it up and do things. So open is pretty obvious. Save. So you can save all the events that have been traced. So you can see at the moment there's 74,000 out of the 173,000 events being shown. And it's because there's a filter being applied. And so what you can do is you can save out everything, so all, what's that, to 174,000, or you can only show what's on the screen at the moment. Highlighted events, so you can put a highlight over things and just save those ones. Multiple different file formats. PML, without a doubt, which is Process Monitor Log File, PML, is the one you should use for portability. The CSV and the XML ones were added, actually, at the request of groups inside Microsoft. They trace their programs with this tool, export it to CSV and XML, and do automated analysis of their program. So that's what that's for. So if you're much more of a developer-type person, that's the way to go. Fantastic way, absolutely fantastic way of profiling your application and going, why am I using so much disk? And then you can run all these reports over in Excel and stuff. And if you include the stack traces, so that's actually the line of code, with the full thread stack against every single entry. As you can imagine, if you are putting a K of stack on every single record, that file is going to get big.
Yeah.
And it's going to be an XML file, and XML files that are big are just not nice. So be very careful with that. And then, obviously, where you want to put the file. So that's pretty simple. Backing file. So at the moment, you can see down here it says backed by virtual memory. This guy is currently putting all this data into memory. And it's backed by the page file, which is where memory is backed by. Instead of chewing up memory, and this by default holds 200 million events. That's the default, and it's also the max. So you can even at 1 byte each, that's 200 meg, and it's easy to blow up. So instead of doing that, you can do a file. So you can say, I want to put it into, I tend to put my data files, like, dump files and log files into a directory called cdumps, completely up to anybody's name. Let's call this defrag. And so now, it will start next time I log, so I can say x. And now it's backed by, so x was reset. And then you can see down the bottom, it's backed by the about the file. We're up to, so capture events. So at the moment we're profiling. You can press Control E to start and stop that, and that's also what the magnifying glass represents.
Yeah.
That's pretty simple. Export and import configuration. So you can say, oh, I love the way this is set up. I'm going to copy it to another box. If you wanted to be consistent, you could put it on that USB thumb drive as a folder and just import it each time you get to a new box if you love the layout. All right, edit. So this is a pretty simple thing. It's copy lets you copy certain things. You also can choose, I just want to copy the column I'm on. So if you highlight from here, you get per column. But if you highlight up here, you'll get the entire row.
Yeah.
So you can, and you can select the whole range and go copy, paste it somewhere. Find. So let's see. Let's do something like, let's make a command prompt. Right? And so let's find that. So cmd.exe. I actually picked up the hkcmd. F3 to, well, that's going to be annoying. So I'm going to exclude you. And there you can go. You can see Explorer, because I used Explorer to launch it, mm-hmm. looked up the cmd.exe. And then at some point, we'll actually see cmd. It's still looking, Explorer's still doing lots of stuff. And there it is, there's our first cmd.exe.
Nice.
And you see the process start. If I click on the process start event, this is a very new addition right here. You now get the environment variables at the time of launch. So if something's acting how you're not expecting it, you know, and which is very environment variable centric.
Yeah. Yeah.
And actually a good example of that is Presence Explorer last week, not showing that dialogue. If I actually had just clicked on this, I would have found out that I didn't have the environment variable set when I went into Presence Explorer. So that's a pretty simple find. Finder, you know, obviously a very powerful tool. I'm using F3 to move to the next one, standard search functionality. So find highlight. So what you can do is say, and I'll do it the quick way here, and I'll show you the more complex way. We're going to highlight and base it on the process name, which is this column. And so what's going to happen is we're going to get a nice blue highlight. And then you can press, instead of F3 for find, you use F4 and it jumps down the next highlight, so you can jump down the log file. Same thing goes for bookmarks. So a lot of support people said, I've got this process monitor trace, and I found this fantastic line of code where I think everything goes wrong, but it's the end of my shift and I need to give it to the next support engineer around the planet. I need to be able to save where I'm up to and give it to the next guy to continue on instead of having to write down at 1.07642 nanoseconds.
Yeah.
This is where I'm up to, right? And so you can toggle a bookmark, and I can't remember what the toggle bookmark number is. It F6 find, is it Control F6? I should know that. I don't know what the... It's so new, I don't know what it is.
It's in the book.
It actually isn't, because this was only coded about a month ago. It will be in the second edition, but...
Yeah.
I'll put it in the show notes.
Okay.
I actually don't know what that is. But, yeah, FC jumps down them. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I don't know what it is to set it. Actually, it might be right-click here as a bookmark. Yep. Oh, Control-B. There it is. Found my own question.
There so you go.
B for bookmark. So you can see how it goes bold. And then F6 to jump down.
Nice.
So yeah, that is very useful. That's a great new feature. Auto scroll. So
does it retain those bookmarks if you export it?
It does.
Nice.
Yeah. Okay. And actually, if you open up a PML file that was created before this release, you actually still can annotate that old file format with this.
Cool.
So Mark did a really good job in backwards compatibility with that job.
Of course.
Mark's awesome, of course. Auto scroll. So at the moment, see how we're kind of at the top?
Yeah.
If I do auto scroll, it's just going to make me stay at the bottom consistently. As soon as you click on something, the auto scroll will be turned off. Actually, no, it doesn't. It stays on. Clear display, Control X. So as soon as you open Process Monitor, it starts tracing. That's the default. And so what you can do is when you think you're at the point of repro, Control X, clear it out and get rid of the megan bags of rubbish. In this case, because I've got a backing file, it gives me a warning, and then off it goes. All right, so event. So if we highlight event, we can do things. And then most of these things you do via the mouse. I'm going to turn profiling off because it does tend to keep it a bit busy. So if you double click on it, it's same as doing properties. So what do we have in here? So across the board, we have the time that it happened. We have the name of the program, the name of the process, the process ID. I actually tend to add a column called thread ID at the same time because I'd like to know what each subsection of scroll this across. This is one of those programs that you really want a big monitor.
Yeah.
So you can see that this guy, all this activity here, is the same process ID and the same thread. So you know that the logic's kind of related with each other.
Mm-hmm.
But if you see something down here, I don't know, let's see if we can find one, something a bit more diverse. Here's one. Well, it's a bad example, but it's two threads different. You know, you can see the two thread exits, and obviously there's two different thread IDs. So if you're trying to track the logic of something, it's good to know. Let's keep this a train of thought on the same thread, because threads are what logic is. You know, people thinking rather than multiple threads doing things. So you can Control P to bring up our properties, and we'll go through that in a sec. Stack. So stack is if you double click on by default, you get the first tab. Stack is the third tab. If you know you continually jump into the third stack, the third tab, you can press Control K. So it's same as Control P really for the properties, but just changes the tab. I only learned that one recently, and I wish I'd known that a long time ago. Toggle bookmark, which is what we just found out and discovered. All right, jump to is kind of cool. So if you go, well, why is this? What is this registry key? Let's look around it, and you can go Control J for jump, and it will bring up regedit for the case of registry keys, and it will bring up Explorer for the case of files, and then you can look in that area. So instead of having to kind of...
Cool, try to find it yourself.
And particularly for things like things that started, where you go, why did that start? You can jump to their order start location and do that. Search online. So what will happen is it will send this string to your default search engine, default browser.
Yeah.
And so if you have some path or something which has a bad error on it, you can jump online and see if anybody else knows about that and try to resolve it that way. All right. So a lot of these I'll lose my voice. A lot of these analyst techniques that you do are all about filtering. You want to get rid of the noise and get down to the crux of what you're doing. So, for example, we made that command prompt. So what we can do is edit the filter. So you can do this a couple of ways. You can do it by up here and say, for the current line I'm on, include the process name as the filter. And now we only have SVC hosts in here.
Yeah.
You can also do the same thing by right-clicking and doing it down here, which is a little bit more intuitive than trying to do it from the menus.
Mm-hmm.
If you're doing a bit more complex, there's a little filter icon here. And so you can also get that too from here. And you can see these things being built up. So the filter is one of those things where you have to kind of get used to the logic, because some of them are ands and some of them are ors. And I don't know if you've been hit by this. It's an and if it's the same category, so column category. So if I add in, for example, so if we go process name, and then this will show me all processes. If I do those two, it will show me either of those. Sorry, that's an or situation.
Yeah.
But then if I go a little bit further and say, classic example is thread ID is, so that's a real number for one of those two.
Yeah.
Well, because the thread ID doesn't exist in one of the other two, it will be exclusive. And so this has, in effect, destroyed the inclusion that those two have. So these are additive when they're the same thing on the front,
mm-hmm.
but you've got, so it's like an OR of those two and then an AND of the next one.
Yeah.
So you've got to be really careful of that. New feature that came out about a year ago is you can check it. And so you go, well, that's just toggle between some things and turn things on and off.
Yeah.
Very powerful. You can filter on any column. You can filter and inclusive and exclusive. So, for example, let's reset the filter and say, you know what? I don't care about SVC host. Let's exclude it. I don't care about that. Exclude it. Oh, here's the thing I care about. Is actually DWM. Include it. So you can filter down really quick with excludes.
Yeah.
And go, okay, I'm here, I'm in the area, there it is, and then include.
And again, you're just trying to whittle away noise so that you can get to the problem.
Exactly. It's all a noise problem. It's exactly what it is. I tend to take that approach. The performance of the filtering engine is amazing. It doesn't matter that you have 50, 100 filters. Bryce, and particularly for this area, did a fantastic job in making a filtering engine. And Process Monitor exists as a version 2. Do you, can you remember what the prior ones to Process Monitor was? And they've been depreciated now. So File Monitor and Reg Monitor. And so those two were written back in the late 90s.
Yeah.
And they were fantastic at the time. And if you're trying to do Process Monitor tracing up to Windows 2000, that's the only tool available. From XP, Windows 2003 and above, this is the way to go. They decided to redo the filtering engine. That was actually one of the major reasons for the upgrade. And always use Process Monitor. Don't use the old ones. And the old ones haven't been tested on the newer OSs either. So it's your own folly. And this is device driver based. So if it goes wrong, you're going to get a blue screen. So use Process Monitor. It's without doubt the smart thing to do. So then that's all the filtering. We're kind of, I can do that to death. And then, like you can with filtering, you can say a highlight. So I can say right-click on this one, say highlight anything that has that word in it. Ah, so there's a classic example. I added it to the highlight, but we don't see it.
Yeah.
So next to the filter, there's the highlight one. It's because I had the other one from before. Highlight it when it's command and that. So if I do that, you'll see it apply. And then if I do remove, I can click remove, goes up top. Click add, goes down the bottom. All right. If I double click, it does the same thing. All right, so it propagates up. So if it's slightly wrong, double click it, goes to the top. We want to change this to DWM, add, and then, so it's a very quick way of jumping. And you can do that on the highlight dialog and also on the filter dialog. We'll finish that menu. So advanced output. So at the moment in the filter, you'll see that there's all this red stuff. So we're not seeing anything that Process Monitor itself did. We're not seeing anything of this from the file system journaling and stuff like that. And so, and all the things to do with how NTFS is writing itself. So by default reset just goes back to this state. If you do advanced output, it turns all that on. So you actually can see Process Monitor tracing itself right there.
Awesome.
So Mark's been very very cautious in making sure he excludes what he thinks is noise from himself.
Yeah.
What's that called? The observation effect? Is that what it's called? Yeah.
That'll work.
Where you destroy yourself by observing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he tries to undo the observation effect. Unless you're tracing NTFS issues and stuff like that, just leave it turned off. Filter we've gone through, reset filter, control R, quick way of doing it. I tend to go in here, press reset, and then just think about it. Just get your mind in the right place. Load filter. So all these things are savable. So you can save the filter and say, this is the perfect filter for when I'm diagnosing Explorer being slow or something at boot. So you can save them off, give it a name. And organized filters let you change the order in the menu, which you get when you press save. Drop filter event. So at the moment, 20,000 out of the 109,000 are being displayed. But it's actually in memory still.
Yeah.
If we know that, let's be even more specific. So that's shown, there's a 90,000 Process Monitor events.
So it's
right
still there. It's just not showing them to you right now.
So that's only include Explorer. So now there's only 683, right? And let's say it's, so what you can do is you can say drop filter of events, and those other ones will get dropped. And then if I reset this and press Control X, and then just make some Explorer traffic, one-to-one relationship, much, much smaller.
Yeah.
Great for when you've got a backing file and you know you're going to give it to someone, right? Don't give them noise.
Yeah.
So that's what that's about. You have to restart it for it to apply. Highlight, we've done that. It's the same as pressing the A button there. Tools. So this one's kind of cool. Just quick way of going, what OS were they on?
Yeah.
Yeah, what's the name of the machine? Stuff like that. Was it 64-bit? Was it 32-bit? And then all of these we're going to do as examples because they just going through them saying, okay, this is a graph. It doesn't really show you much.
Yeah.
Options, always on top, kind of obvious. Fonts, obvious. Highlight color, change it from blue. Configure symbols. So you'll notice today, like last week, it works. This is what I was expecting last week. Process Monitor actually even has a slightly better thing than Explorer is. You know how I said Microsoft has a default of going into C:\debuggers?
Yeah.
It actually knows it as a default. And so if it can find that upgraded dbghelp.dll in that folder, it will automatically pick it up. This thing comes from the environment variable. What happened in Impressive Explorer's mistake last week is I never ran that batch file in episode one.
Yeah.
So it wasn't there. And then I said, all right, I'll close it down and reopen it. Well, I just before that said minimize to the tray. So all I did was when I pressed close, it went to the tray.
Yeah.
And then I said restart with a command line and it said, well, you've said only one instance, so I'll close the one you just made and just pop up the old one. So the old one got popped up, and to my great frustration, it wasn't there.
Yeah.
So it does work if you just don't make mistakes like I did.
Yeah.
So simple path, really, really important with Presses Monitor. You don't need to have this set at collection. You only need to do it at review. That's quite important. So that means you can capture stacks and stuff from network isolated machines and not have access to the Microsoft symbol server.
Yeah.
We're up to options. Select columns, which is, I'll do it in a sec over here. History depth, it defaults to 199. That's the max. If you want to keep it like a smaller buffer, reduce that down. Profiling events. So at the moment, this profiling thing's turned off, and all you get, and we'll turn all the other types of events off. You just get process profiling. If you do here, you can say every second, also give me thread events. And so you can now see activity. So it only gives you a thread event if there was actually CPU used on that thread in the last second. So yeah. Otherwise you'd have 1,000, you know, or 5,000 threads per second being listed.
Yeah.
So these are the threads that did a bit of CPU power in the last sample period. Enable boot logging, we'll do that via an example. Resolve network addresses, so as I said, we trace network activity. I don't know if Presses Explorer is going to do, where's my network? Oh, I got a filter, ha-ha. Always, this gets you a lot.
It's like the lens cap on the camera.
It is, I mean.
The old lens cap.
So there you go. There you can see a whole lot of network activity. And then if you double click on that, it will tell you it resolved the...
Golnaz's machine out there, the edit
Yeah,
machine.
Just right there. I mean, not that far away on the network. It resolves the name on the network instead of giving the IP address. Pretty simple. And then help and command line. So the command line is quite powerful. Presses Monitor is used for bootlogging and all these other things. And so you can say, start an event, apply this filter, so you save the filters out to a file, apply this filter, and then stop it after a certain amount of time, blah, 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 open it, terminate it. I'm not going to go into those details. That's well and truly a book thing. Get the book. Just get the book. And there we go. So that's a quick overview. The last thing I'm going to do is the columns on here. So let's get some traffic on here. So what we're seeing is the default things, I already added the thread ID column. And what we're going to do is add some kind of useful ones. So like relative time is a good one, and so is duration. Relative time gives you how far into the trace we are. So if you're doing something like boot logging, which is a really good example of this, all right, I am 18 seconds into boot. Why am I only up to this point?
Yeah.
All right. And then the other one that's useful is duration. So duration is how long that call took. Dialog lets you do more than just a one-to-one comparison. You can begins with, so anything that starts with C:\, for example. What else you can do is with duration. That doesn't really make sense for a duration, does it? Double click because it's wrong, goes up top. We want to say is more than 1 second. So if anything operation took more than a second, show it to me. And actually, there you have it. There's some traffic. This bottom one, 23 seconds. You go, oh, that's a long time. See over here, far right. 23 seconds, that's a long time for that thing to call. Well, actually, it's been 23 seconds before a new file was created. And so it's how long it took for a new file to turn up. So it's not a bad thing in that case. So you have to kind of be aware of that. The other thing that you have to be aware of is some operations, the duration is how long I say send packet on network. Well, it only takes a millisecond to do that. You might sit here for 20 minutes to get it back, and then it only takes a millisecond to read it. The duration will only give you that how long it took to send and how long it took to receive, not the differential.
Yeah.
If you think that's a good idea, I've been talking to Mark about this. We're thinking about adding a column that says, what is the duration between the last operation for this thread and the next one? All right. So if you think that's a good idea, put it in the show notes. We'll harass Mark. We'll gang up against him, and we'll get a new column added.
Love it.
So we haven't really thought of that many scenarios where it's useful yet. That's why we haven't done it yet. But if you think it's important and you've got a good scenario, let's harass Mark and get that new feature done. All right, so that's all the menus. Columns, you know, turn them on and off as required. We're at roughly 30 minutes now. That's we'll end this episode today, and then next week we'll come back and we will do example heaven, where we'll go through three or four really cool examples of how to use this in different ways and become even more masterful at this.
Awesome. Thank you, Andrew. And if you have any questions, leave them in the show notes and we'll get back to you. See you next week.
See you next week.